Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to just take a look how all through the Bible, God was preparing things for us today, for our lives. And his intention from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, it's written that he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the morning. That was his intention, to walk with man, that man wouldn't be separated from him, and that they would know his nature. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it separated them from him. They hid from him. Remember, he came down and he said, when we heard you coming, we hid. Immediately, God's plan of redemption came that same morning. Every morning, we are on God's mind. You are on God's mind every day. In the morning, first thing that he thinks. And what happened was in Genesis chapter 3:15, he already begins, when he saw this happen, he already said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He says that to the enemy. And between your seed and her seed. And he, this seed, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Already, God was working to get man back to him. The promise of the Redeemer, of Jesus. And so all of the words, all of the instruction in the Bible are towards that end, to bring us, all of us, back to him, to walk with him. And when you begin to see the beauty of that, the words in the Bible open up. That's why he did that. You see? That's what he's doing. Now, let's look in Luke chapter 6, verse 47. And Jesus is at the end of a discourse here, and he says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. See, God, by his word, has laid a foundation for us to follow. And as we see it, as we hear it, and as we see it, and as we do it, that means, how do we do it? We just follow after what he's done, putting aside what we can do alone, but seeing what he has done already. It's almost like a pleasant surprise. Just in doing things recently, my son was remodeling his house that he moved into. And sometimes we wouldn't see each other, but I would go there and I was pleasantly surprised by how much he had done. I was going to get the wallpaper off the walls and it was like, he already did that. Isn't that great? Or I'll come home and Sandy and I have things, you know, whatever you do to maintain the house, and I'll come home and we were talking about doing this, and I'll come home and, hallelujah, she already did it. You know, those are pleasant surprises. And that is what the gospel's all about. You see, we can, when we look into the history of the Bible, when we look into the accounts in the Bible, it's like, wow, God took care of that too. Because he was getting up early in the morning every day looking for someone who would hear him and speak what he was saying. All those prophets. And it is so specific, this foundation that God has laid, that there are details about where Jesus would be born. He said to Moses, right after the law was written in Deuteronomy 18, he said, I'm going to send a prophet who they will listen to, and he is the spokesman for a greater covenant than this. So that's what Jeremiah wrote about. He said, ever since your fathers came out of Israel, God's been rising up early every morning to speak his word and show you what he's doing. And those prophets, praise God, were there to hear God and to speak what God was doing. And it all pans out. Isaiah spoke of this Messiah being born of a woman. Miraculous, of a virgin, right? The incarnation, something not possible for man. He spoke of how Jesus, where he would be born. Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a colt at the time on Palm Sunday before his crucifixion. There are details of how he would die on a cross. There were details of what was exactly accomplished in his death in Isaiah 53, the purposes of the crucifixion, the atonement of how he stood in for us, and then how he would be raised from the dead on our behalf and provide abundant life. See, God spoke those things through the thousands of years to lay the foundation that Jesus is talking about. Whoever hears these sayings and does them, follows after them, believes them, it is like he will be walking on rock, building on rock, building his life on rock. You see, and that's where we're going to see it, in the Word of God, not by looking around. We can get tricked by what we see. All of this stolen of what God has already done. So in here, in the Bible, we have a general plan. The plan for every man, for every woman, it's all spelled out, that we would be free from all sin, that we're forgiven because Jesus took it, so that we could be restored to the Father and walk with him. And it doesn't matter what we've done or who we are or where we're from. Jesus is greater. We can't, no one can undo what Jesus has done. No one's disqualified or has sinned too much. We're all entitled to this wholeness and health that comes from being in the presence of God, walking in the garden with him. This is his garden, and we're entitled. God wanted that from the beginning. He never wanted any one of us to be separated from him. And he wants and desires that each one of us prosper and be in good health. That's what he wants. That's all laid out in here. And it's God's desire that every man, woman, and child be saved from the world, saved from agonizing themselves, saved from worrying, saved from trying to provide for themselves, worrying about others around them, their children, their neighbors, their grandchildren. No, He has it all planned out here. And the amazing thing to me is when I read that vision that has come to John and Priscilla, it's an extension of that. It's an extension. It was came from God's Word through Father God, through His written Word, His Holy Spirit, and confirming words of prophecy through others, imparted His vision of Word of Life family fellowship. So now it's getting closer, isn't it? It's here's the general plan that is available for everybody. Now, praise God, it's become more specific for you and for me. God's unfolding it right here. And there's detailed plans for us right here in this house, in this area, in this region. And it's spelled out by working with the Holy Spirit, the wise master builder, and holding fast to this very word that God has written and established already. Every situation planned out with success. God always wins. He never fails. Right? We have all the examples here that we need. We just need to hold on to this, the Word of Life. We just need to hold on to the Holy Spirit, and He will show us how He has appointed us for the building of His body. You see? And as we go on, we can read the specifics, the specific instructions for this vision, for Word of Life, family fellowship. And within that, we can find the individual vision, our part in that. As we read through those words, we're appointed to preach the gospel. We're appointed to the furtherance of the gospel. We're appointed to the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We're here to heal the brokenhearted, anointed by God to heal the brokenhearted, set captives free, see blind eyes open, heal the sick, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And you know why God's up early every morning looking for those who will hear and receive? It's because what's going on in the world is not acceptable to Him. This is not acceptable that any person be left out of this wonderful plan. For them to be with me, receiving life from me, receiving health from me, not just now, but for eternity. It's not acceptable to Him that any be lost. It's not acceptable for Him that any in His room be lost. But it's not acceptable to Him for any to be lost. He has the plan and reveals it through Jesus what is acceptable to Him. Anyone that comes, Jesus will restore. That's what's acceptable. And let's just look at a few other foundational things, just so that it's so very helpful to me as I look through at what God has done. When the fullness of time, it's in Galatians chapter 4. I've already mentioned since that in the Jeremiah scripture from Jeremiah 7 verse 25, where God spoke through Jeremiah at a time when things were all coming down. The kingdom of God had been established, but the enemy was on the doorstep. They were building siege mounds, big mountains around the city, so that this enemy army could come up that ramp and over the walls of the city of Jerusalem and overtake it. The people had turned their backs on God, but yet there was Jeremiah, the prophet, saying through him, God was saying through him, I love you and I have not forgotten about you. In fact, since the days that your fathers came out of Egypt until today, I've sent to you my servants and prophets, daily rising up and sending them so that you could be drawn to me. At the worst of times, God's word was still, and those words from Jeremiah and all of the other words, he's the one that said, God's plans, his thoughts for you are for good. They're to prosper you, that you be in good health. That was the same Jeremiah when everything in the world was falling down around him. But God was still speaking and laying a foundation. And in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. So that writer, Paul, saw this same thing that we see today. God planning, and all of a sudden, when the fullness of time had come, there's Jesus. And it's neat to see in the Bible when it's written that Jesus did this so that it would be fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. And Jesus says, the hour has come. See, Jesus knew that God was building this foundation of rock with his word, that foundation can never be taken away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. That's what we have the opportunity to walk on, you see. As the world falls down around us, and it will fail, because Jesus said, no other foundation can be laid. Any other foundation besides the word of God is foolishness. It can't work. But we have the opportunity of seeing this foundation of what God has provided for us. Further on, in 1 Peter, Peter saw it. Chapter 1, verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully and prophesied of this grace that would come to you. See, these prophets were seeking God down through the ages for thousands of years, and they asked God, and God showed them, and they prophesied of this tremendous grace, power of God and ability from God that would come to us. So it's important to see these things, because if you're like me, as you start your day, the tendency is to look at my own hands, to look at what I've got to do, right? But God's saying, stop, 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 wait a minute. Look at what I've already done. You see, all these prophets have gone before us. God, because God showed them. God was getting up early in the morning to bring us to this point. And he's not stopping. He's there to meet us early in the morning and show us his ways, what he's done. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it's written that all the prophets speak of Jesus, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And Peter, again on the day of Pentecost, stood up in Acts chapter 3. This is what's going on. The times of restoration of all things that God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So it just encourages me to not look at just what I can do, what's going on in my little world, but we need a perspective, don't we? We need a perspective of what God's done, what God's been doing, what he's done on our behalf. So as we see this whole plan, we can look and find our individual plan. Let's look at Psalm 139. And we'll see how individual this plan of God is. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's verse 21. Acts chapter 3, 21. And there's actually one more. You can stay in Psalm 139, but if you want to jot this down, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 is encouraging as well. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, God might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth. See, that's the grand goal. God wants everybody included, gathering all things to himself, all people to himself. So those are foundational scriptures that show me that, hey, you're not alone, and you don't have to do it yourself. And that's what I pray that you see today. Look at what God has done. Look at all the foundation. If we don't look at the history, we're going to be fooled, right? That's why it's important for all of us to know history of those who have gone before us. It's especially important to know what God has done. Now, in Psalm 139, I believe God is making it very clear through this psalmist in the first section of verses, down through the first 12. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. This writer is just realizing, God, you know everything about me. You comprehend, in verse 3, my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge of this is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain it. See, sometimes we think we have this huge God. How could he possibly care about what's happening to little me? But that's not true, is it? Just from those verses, every little thing, that is part of the awesomeness of God. How can he possibly know, with all these millions and billions of people, how can he care or know everything about me? We need to open our minds to that. He does. He does. This psalmist was amazed. This is like too amazing for me, he said. Just knowing this, Lord, is too amazing for me. But we can grasp it today. God does care. God does care about every little thing. And if we go down into verse 13, you can see how from the very beginning, from creation, for he writes, "You, O Lord, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I believe that calls for us to say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord. "Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame, my bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Those are some good words to think about, aren't they? To think that you were made in God's hand, individually. God formed each one of us skillfully with thoughts, all these thoughts, knowing that we would fit into this plan of redemption. We wouldn't be victims of the world. We wouldn't be victims of sin. He has your days planned and fashioned, you see. It's amazing. But this is the width and depth and height and length of God's love. And I pray that we understand that today. That it's every little thing he does care about. And when we look at that, it makes it easier to separate ourselves from what we see going on, right? And it helps us to see how every person that we see in the course of the day, no matter what their behavior is, but to see that God did that for them too. He took time. And he took effort, and he took precious thoughts towards every person that's out there. And he has days fashioned for them. So it makes sense to check with God, "What do you have fashioned for my day today?" Not what I have planned, but Lord, you took great thought and great effort and put love into my fortune, even to the point that you would plan my days so that they would be good days, that they would be prosperous days, that there would be no worry, no anxiety. You see, when we start from that's the truth, right? and we build our lives on that, then each step he can reveal more to us as to how we fit in. He's building a body, right? He's building a great nation of holy priests separated from the world. That's what the church is. We're called out of the world, right? Based on these scriptures, we're called out of the world to walk on the foundation of God's word and not our own, and not to be tossed to and fro by the world and whatever it throws at us, but to be grounded and rooted in the love of God that starts right there when we were even being formed. That we're rooted in that. I'm rooted in that. Why don't we say that? I'm rooted in the love of God. That's where it all started. And he'll show us how it pans out. Now, I just sense that this is that kind of day where we are to, just as in Joshua's time, sanctify yourselves. Get ready to see the wondrous works of God. And something that we can get in the way are cares of the world, right? We can be carrying cares, and that's what God was telling those people. They were ready to cross the Jordan River. How do you cross the Jordan River when it's raging during the flood season? But God says, I'm going to show you. Get ready. Because over there is that promised land that I wanted to bring your fathers into, but they wouldn't believe me. Right? He said, get ready. You're going to see wondrous things. Not only did that river part, but God took them through that enemy land and gave it to them, defeating every enemy that they came across. So we can say to ourselves, how are you going to do this, Lord, in our lives? We know that God has showed us that he wants this area in eastern Pennsylvania, in Pennsylvania, to be part of this tremendous body of Christ. We can begin to take cares of that. We can be sidetracked by looking at the obstacles in our own lives, our own limitations. But God has an answer. We can release those cares to him, can't we? That's what we're going to do today. We're going to separate ourselves. We're going to get ready to see wondrous things of God in our lives. In 1 Peter, Peter was well acquainted with this. Peter lived through this stuff, didn't he? He saw Jesus. He doubted. He said the wrong things sometimes. But he also saw the salvation of God and wrote some things for our benefit. I just want to get to the right verse. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, let's start in verse 5, and let's start at the place where it reads, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. See, we can be prideful about saying, It's my life. I'll take care of it. I'll work hard, right? And I'll make this happen. That person will not receive the grace from God. See, and we can think we're doing good by working hard and taking care of our business, you see. But God gives grace to those who humble themselves and say, yes, I can do this, Lord, but you can do greater. He gives grace to that person that will look to him, that will look and see, then separate himself from what his abilities are to what God's abilities are. That's the one that will receive this empowerment, this grace and mercy from God that he promises. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, those people that were poi, that had come out of the wilderness in Joshua's time, if they would not have prepared, if they would not have looked to God, do you think they would have even made it across the Jordan? I don't think so. The history says that it was a raging river at that time of year. But they prepared. They separated. They sanctified God. And they got ready. And they saw the beginning of wondrous things that very next day. So it is with us. They didn't care how were they going to do it. They didn't care about how they tried to cross a small stream 10 years ago and it didn't work. No, they trusted in God. They put that care on him. And that's what we can do today and day by day. Because he cares for us. He loves us. And he wants to bring us in to this promised land. Anything that's against his will is not acceptable to him. He's not going to quit until he brings us in. And many, that's what's acceptable to the Lord. That's the acceptable year of the Lord. And then in Philippians, I want to close with this one. And this is the kind of pattern that we can establish in our lives daily to look to God first and allow him to do his will here on earth. We can cast any cares on him. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we'll close with these two verses. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you ever get anxieties? We know what to do with them now, right? We get cares of the world. And even if you're not looking for these cares and these anxieties, somehow they'll come to you. Like, little voice, who do you think you are, right? Well, what do you say? I am a child of God. Let's close with this. Everybody stand up for a minute and let's just exercise this. I think you know what I mean, right? When you get up in the morning,